remember from that account, as he said, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Now why? Of all the amazing things that Jesus said and did, is this specific request made? "Lord, teach us to pray." Now prayer for those men and women would have been a normal part of the Jewish upbringing. But Jesus was different. Prayer for him was more like breathing. It was natural, routine, ingrained, an innate part of who he was. And so for the disciples and for us, this is probably not generally the case. Jesus prayed a lot. There are 204 references in the Gospels to Jesus either himself praying or talking about prayer. So it was clearly very important to him, and therefore by definition, it should be to us. Now there are some basic questions that we need to ask if we really want to learn how to pray. I don't know if you're familiar with a thing called the inquiry star. It's something we used to use in school when we're trying to help A-level students frame their essays. So if you think about sort of a six-pointed star, it's got a question mark in the middle, and you think who, where, what, why, when, how. Now, not all those questions will be relevant in some cases, but in this they are. So we're thinking, and those big questions: who, when, what, where, how, why. Big questions. So it's really, really important that we know who we are praying to. And Jesus makes this absolutely clear that when we pray, we say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." According to the German theologian Joachim Jeremias, in the whole of Jewish literature, there isn't a single example of the use of the word Abba to address God. That's the word Jesus uses there, Abba. Yet this is that word, "Our Father." Not Yahweh, El Shaddai, Jehovah, Adonai, or any of the other many, many words that could have been used by Jesus. He chose the word Abba, an Aramaic word, closer in meaning to daddy than father. For Jesus, prayer was not a performance. It was something deeply personal. When we pray, and you'll notice that he says when, not if we pray. We pray to our Father, to Abba. Now, in the North, we would say to our dad. Now, I know that sounds a bit odd in itself, but that would be quite usual in the North. Prayer is more, it's a relationship. It's rooted in a relationship with Father God. And who is this Father God? Well, he is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. This also helps us to explain why. Why we pray. You can't be in a relationship with someone you never talk with, listen to, or generally spend time with. Jesus described himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And he went on to explain that if you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So this close, loving bond that Jesus had with his Father is the very relationship into which we are invited. We pray not out of duty or fear, but because it's who we are. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So it's a natural response. And thankfully, that same Holy Spirit is the one who steps in when we haven't got a clue what to say. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And I know we really stress sometimes about the words, what we actually should say. Jesus doesn't stress about that at all. According to Paul, we are to pray without ceasing. Now, I think that this is unlikely to be taken literally, but it does reinforce that breathing motif. It's natural. It's everyday. It's routine. Jesus was always in prayer mode. he spent the last 3 years of his life on the move. When he could, he attended the synagogue, and when in Jerusalem, he would have gone to the temple. At other times, he withdrew to quiet places, to the desert, mountains, on a boat, in a garden. He prayed before meals, before important decisions, before and after a healing event. He prayed alone and he prayed in public. His pattern was wherever and whatever. It was never accidental and it was never incidental. Prayer was an intentional and purposeful part of his every waking hour. Jesus explicitly said that prayer is not a spectator sport and it must never be virtue signaling. Oh, look at me. Look how clever my words are. Look at these wonderful things. It's nothing to do with that at all. It's something exclusively between you and God. He recommends go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father. Now, this doesn't mean that you must always pray alone. Jesus didn't. But finding a quiet place can be helpful. At times, Jesus struggled to find that quiet place, so he sometimes opted for the early morning option. Jesus said to his exhausted disciples, come away by yourself to a quiet place and rest a while. Now, there's been much heated debate about how and what we pray. Should prayer be liturgical or extemporary? Do you follow a script or do you innovate? Now, these are not mutually exclusive, and Jesus never specified. He and his disciples would routinely have used the Shema, which is the prayer that says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. So if you've forgotten, or if you need to be reminded of who we are, then look at the Shema, say it, breathe it, think it. They also would have used the priestly prayer, so a very common prayer in Jewish literature. This is the one that goes, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I can't think how many times I've said that prayer in my heart. You know, when I passed the girls' bedrooms when they were little, I would pray that prayer over there. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. You see something as you're wandering around Trowbridge, you haven't got a clue what you can do about it, but in your head, the Lord bless you and keep you. It's important. And any number of the Psalms, you've got 150 to choose from, you can dig in and out. They are amazing. Look at John 17 if you want an example of how Jesus prayed. But you really need to look at the whole of his life to get a fuller picture of what prayer was for him. He prayed audibly in public, and he prayed alone in private. In the synagogue and the temple, he would have prayed standing. At other times, he's recorded as kneeling, or kneeling with his face to the ground, sitting, and most memorably, while being crucified. Jesus never attached any particular merit to any particular prayer posture. So, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, we're going to conclude with some very practical advice from James. He says, is any among you suffering? Then let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Then call the elders of the church, let them pray over him. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So, Lord, teach us to pray. We're going to do that right now. I will frame it around the Lord's Prayer, this is the one he taught us. And obviously, any particular personal or private prayers that you have, please offer them to the Lord. If you want to pray out loud, that's fantastic. If you don't, that's great. Whatever. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The psalmist says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name to him. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we look around us, it's sometimes hard to see any pathway through. It just seems too difficult in our personal and private lives, in the lives of our community, our country, and the wider world. Keep reminding us, Father, that your kingdom will come and your will be done. That same psalmist, Psalm 34, says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. Give us today our daily bread. Father, we thank you that we are in such a privileged position here in this country at this time, that we can eat, we can go out, we can walk, we can go to work, we can have pleasurable activities with our family and friends. We have that freedom and that choice. Thank you. We thank you for everything that you have given us, for your abundant kindness toward us. We recognize that this isn't true for everybody, but we acknowledge how grateful we are for everything that you have given us. Thank you, Father. Taste. See that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Father, we are sorry for everything that we have said, done, and thought that was unworthy of you. It was shameful. We acknowledge everything that we did not say or do, that we should have done because we lack the courage or the grace. Father, forgive. For those people and situations which have caused us pain, we ask that you will give us the power to forgive and to move on. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their cry. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We do pray for those people that we mentioned before. Those men, women and children who were swept away in those floods. Those poor little girls on Christian camp who won't be going home. And their parents struggling with those events. We give you the situations in our own lives which we're struggling with. Health, finances, difficulty with family members, whatever it is, Father, we ask that in your loving mercy, you will draw close and bring healing and necessary resolution. Do not be anxious about your life. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Father, we acknowledge that as the righteous cry out, the Lord hears them. That the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Thank you, Father, for all that you are, for all that you have been, for all that you have done. Thank you that you are a gracious, loving Father. In the name of Jesus, we offer your prayers said and unsaid. In the name of the Lord, Amen.